Listen, if you have a copy of the Bible with you, I want to invite you to take it and turn with me to the fourth chapter of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Just see if you're with me or not. Now, Big John, chapter 4. And as you're turning there, I just got to tell you that I am not a fan of poison ivy. How about you? I have a witness? Listen, a poison ivy breakout is like having an uninvited guest show up for the weekend. They're unwanted and often irritating. Amen? I mean, it's true. Well, last summer, I had been cleaning my flower beds, and later I discovered that I had what I would call a poison ivy breakout on my arm. Have you ever had one of those? Listen, I learned that if you've got a poison ivy breakout, it's going to itch. I mean, it's going to itch. I mean, you can self-medicate all you want. You can go to the drugstore, buy everything on the shelf. I tried everything. But the bottom line is that itch is going to return like a boomerang. Heard about a guy who bought himself a new boomerang. You hear about him? He bought himself a new boomerang, and he killed himself trying to throw the old one away. You people up in the balcony, y'all heard that, didn't you? I'm worried about you people up there. Hey, listen, when you're battling poison ivy, man, all you can think about is eliminating the itch. And I found out that the worst thing you can do when you've got poison ivy is what? Is scratch it. And yet, the only thing that's on your mind to do at that moment is to what? Is to scratch it. See, saying not to scratch it is like telling a kid not to eat the cookies in the cookie jar. See, all they want to do is what? Eat the cookies. And telling yourself not to scratch, all you want to do is what? Scratch. All you want is some relief from all that itching. Well, I got up that Monday morning and got dressed. I was getting ready to come to the office for a little meeting we have. And it was in the middle of the summer, hot. But I looked down on my arm. It looked awful. I mean, it was really bad. And I thought, I can't go into office looking like that. So I wore a long sleeve shirt. And walked into the office. I was planning to walk into the office so that nobody would see it. Well, on the way here, I was driving. And I drive by a little cemetery on the way home. I mean, on the way to church every day. And there I was in my truck. I was just itching. I was going crazy. I was not very happy with life. Have you ever had a moment like that? Well, there's one of you. The rest of you are good to go. And I was just going nuts. And I drove by a little cemetery, and I had this thought. Nobody in that cemetery is itching from poison ivy today. There wasn't a single one of them itching. And then I thought this. In fact, I said it out loud. I'm driving on my way. I said this out loud. Dead people don't itch. Is that profound or what? Dead people don't itch. And so when I realized that, my whole attitude changed. I started thanking God for the poison ivy. I started thanking Him for all the itching, the scratching. Because all that itching and scratching, it was a reminder to me that I was what? I was alive. So I got that long sleeve shirt on. I bounced into that office and I was miserable. I was itching, going crazy. And I had that long sleeve shirt on so that nobody could see it. Listen, nobody in that room knew I was itching and what I was going through. But I want to tell you something. I was itching. I mean, I was miserable, and there I was trying to cover it up so that nobody would know about it. I mean, who wants to see a blistered, infected poison ivy breakout? You know what I'm saying? Well, having said all that, that's the introduction to the message. So I want you to look with me to John chapter 4 to a woman that you are familiar with. John chapter 4. whose life was filled with all kind of itches. And she was seeking all kind of things in order to get some peace, some calmness, some serenity to all those itches that were in her life. And yet, she was trying to cover it up. Listen, you put this down. Every itch screams for relief. And every itch seeks for relief. Every itch in our life today, man, it is screaming for relief. That's why we itch and scratch and scratch and scratch, just trying to get some relief. And every itch seeks for relief. And the mission of this woman we read about here was to experience some itch relief. You know why? Because live people itch, but dead people don't. Now, what that tells me is that this room is filled with people that brought in with them all kind of itches. I mean, some of you are already thinking, I can't wait to get out of here because I got to scratch this itch that's going on in my life today. See, live people itch. That means we all full of itches in here, and you're doing the same thing that I was doing in that staff meeting. You're trying to cover it up. You know, you don't want people to see it. And it may be because you're ashamed, or maybe you feel embarrassed, or maybe prideful, but you're trying to cover it up so that nobody can see it. Hey, can I give you a great verse for that? Proverbs chapter 28, 13. The Bible says, he who, watch this, he who covers his sins, he who covers his sins will not what? Will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Listen, the one thing an itch longs for is relief. Hey, but do you know what's more frustrating than having an itch on your skin? It's having an itch in your soul. I mean, you're talking about frustrating. I mean, having an itch in your soul with no relief to be found. And like many of you here, this woman was seeking some relief from her itching soul. And every effort left her itching more and thirsting more. You know, she reminds me of a song that the Rolling Stones sing. Do you know the Rolling Stones? That early service, I asked that, nobody moved. No, we don't know the Rolling Stones. I just told them, I said, hey, don't look so spiritual at me. I know you know who the Rolling Stones are. And then I gave them the first line of the song. I said, you know, they sing, I can't get no. And 150 of them said, no satisfaction. I said, you do know who the Rolling Stones are. Remember that song they used to sing, I can't get no satisfaction? And then it goes on and they say, because I try and I try and I try and I try, I can't get no, I can't get no. That's who this woman was. Listen, like some of us in here, she tried and she tried, she tried and tried. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to get some relief, some satisfaction from those things in our life today that are causing us to itch. Hey, let's read about it. I'm in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. When Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went again to Galilee. Verse 4, he had to travel through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. "Give me a drink," Jesus said to her, because his disciples had gone into town to buy food. "Well, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" She asked him, for Jews don't associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' hey, you would have asked him, and he would give you living water." "Sir," said the woman, "you don't even have a bucket. And besides that, the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life." Wow. Hey, you know what? We're good at cover up, aren't we? We are. We're all good at covering up. Like sitting in a meeting trying to cover up all your poison ivy breakout inside, out of sight from others. We try to cover up those things in our life that they causes us to itch. And all the while seeking temporary relief. You know, perhaps you have an addiction itch that says, "I need." Or maybe you've got a bitterness itch that says, "I hurt." Or maybe you've got an envy itch that says, "I want." Hey, or maybe like this woman that we read about, maybe you've got a lust itch that says, "I thirst." You see, we say, "I need," when we have an itch. We say, "I hurt," when we have an itch. We say, "I want," when we have an itch. We say, "I thirst," when we have an itch. And do you know why we have all these itches in our life? Because people that are alive itch. Hey, but listen to this. Dead people don't itch. You listening? Dead people don't itch. Listen, y'all put this down. The more alive we are, the more we itch. The more dead we are, the less we itch. Now, if you will write something down and take it from this message, you'll jot that down. The more alive we are, the more we itch. The more dead we are, the less we itch. The Bible says it this way, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, itch, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Hey, learn this today. What poison ivy is to your skin, sin is to your soul. You listening? What poison ivy is to your skin, causing you to itch. Sin is to your soul, causing it to itch. Now, somebody says, "Ernst, are you telling me that because live people itch that, and I'm alive, I'm just going to have to go through life itching and scratching and itching and scratching my way through life?" No. In fact, I'm telling you just the opposite. You don't have to go through life scratching and itching your way through life. You say, "Well, if that's the case, man, I'm in. In fact, I want to be all in. So if I can go through life without having to itch all these, or scratch all these itches that I've got in my life today, man, how do I do it?" Remember this. Dead people don't itch. You say, "Well, what does that mean?" That's a fair question. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Watch this. Paul's writing to the believers at Rome, right? Romans. Consider yourselves, who's he writing to? The saved or lost? Believers or not believers? Okay, let me help you. Believers, not a trick question. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Hey, by the way, it's always in that order. You've got to first die to sin before you can be alive to God or alive in Christ. I give you another passage. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. But now we have been released from the law, since we have what? Died to what held us, so that we may serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the old letter of the law. Romans chapter 6, verse 2. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Verse 4. We were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so that we too may walk in newness of life. Paul's describing an itch-free life. In fact, the Bible talks about that in Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. Paul says, take off your former way of life. You know, all those things that cause all the itching. Take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupt by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of truth. Hey, can I tell you something? Only God can relieve your itch permanently. Did you hear that? Only God can relieve your itch permanently. Coming to him through a relationship with Jesus. Listen to this. It requires us to die to self, die to sin, and put him on the throne of our heart. See, before you can be alive in Christ, you've got to first be dead in sin. Romans 6:11, dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, and always in that order. In other words, the Bible talks about a death that leads to life. Now, those are weird words. A death that leads to life. And the Samaritan woman we read about here in John 4 experienced a death that day that relieved her itch. And she walked away from that well, satisfied. Because dead people, what? They don't itch. Now, having said that, I'm going to give you three Bible principles taken from this encounter that Jesus had with this woman at the well that forever changed her life. In fact, what he did in her life on that day, he wants to do in your life on this day. You say, what's that? To relieve all that itching going on in your life. Now, so if you're going to take notes, here's a good time to start. Here's the first principle taken from this encounter. Number one, Jesus loves you just like you are. Did you listen to that? Jesus loves you just like you are. Verse 4 says that Jesus had to travel through Samaria. Now, that's a big statement right there, verse 4. Jews didn't travel through Samaria. In fact, even to this day, Jews don't travel through Samaria. You go to Israel with us in December, and the Jews, they don't go through Samaria, they go around Samaria. You say, well, what's the big deal about Samaria? I'll tell you what the problem was. Samaritans lived there. You say, well, what's a Samaritan? Well, a Samaritan was a half-breed. They were half-Jewish, half-Gentile. And because of that, they were not pure. All right? And because of that, the Jews despised them. I mean, they despise the Samaritans. That's why if they were in Jerusalem and they were traveling north up to the Sea of Galilee, they, just like today, they would travel, they'd go the long way around Samaria so that their sandals wouldn't even have to touch the ground where the Samaritans lived. I mean, you talk about a racial divide. Well, when Jesus said to her in verse 6, "Give me a drink," you know what he was saying to her? He was saying, "I love you just like you are. You're a Samaritan, you're a woman, give me a drink of water. Let's have a conversation." It was his way of saying to her, "I love you just like you are." Hey, listen, it will be a great day in your life when you come to realize that Jesus loves you just like you are. You say, "Ernest, are you sure that he loves me like I am?" Oh, I am sure. You know how I'm sure? The Bible tells us that. I give you a verse for that, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God proves, or God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that a good word? While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, Jesus didn't say, "Come on up here to heaven, come up to where I am so that I might save you." But rather, he said, "I'm going to come down to where you are so that you might be saved." See, you don't get your act together to come to Jesus. You come to Jesus to get your act together. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." I like the way Max Lucado, in his little book called Just Like Jesus, here's what he said. He says, "Jesus loves you the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way." Isn't that a great word? He loves us just like we are, but he refuses to let us stay that way. Hey, and aren't you glad? Amen? Hey, Jesus loves you like you are. That's the first truth. Now here's the second truth, jot down. Not only does Jesus love you like you are, but number two, Jesus meets you where you are. He will meet you wherever you are. I mean, look at the text, verse 15. "Sir," the woman said to him, "give me this water so I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water." Let me just slide this in. In other words, let me have some of this water so I can stop itching. I keep itching and scratching and itching and scratching. "Give me this water so I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water." And listen to this conversation he has. Jesus says, "Go call your husband," he told her, "and come back here." "I don't have a husband," she answered. "You have correctly said, 'I don't have a husband,'" Jesus said. "But you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Wow. What a conversation. You know, I've often wondered how that woman got to be where she was in life. Listen, her life was a trail. Listen, it was a trail of one man after the other, one heartbreak after the other, seeking love to be loved and not finding. I mean, you talk about having an itch. But I often wonder, what kind of home life did she grow up in? I mean, was she in a home where her father loved her mother and her mother loved her father and her mother and father both loved God? I just wonder if that was the kind of home life she grew up in. I wonder if there was a lot of laughter in her home. I wonder if there was a lot of screaming in her home. I wonder if there's a lot of cursing going on in her home. I wonder if her family, as she was growing up, if these were synagogue people. I mean, people that went to the synagogue. I wonder if they were church people or not. Tell what I think. I think there were a lot of things missing in her home life as she was growing up that impacted her life. You know, and perhaps like some of you, maybe your home life, there were some things going on there that has caused you to be where you are today. I mean, do you ever look in the mirror and say, man, how did I get here? How did I get in this mess? How did I get involved with all this stuff? I mean, how did I get here? Well, maybe for you, in your home life growing up, maybe there wasn't any love going on. Maybe you never felt loved by your parents. Or maybe there wasn't any forgiveness. Or maybe there was no encouragement from anybody in the home. Maybe you had no parental support. Maybe they weren't there when those important events in your life, you looked around and, where's my dad? Where's my mom? They're not here because they don't care. Maybe you grew up in a very dysfunctional family. Hey, maybe there was sexual abuse in your home. Maybe there was emotional abuse in your home. I just raised the question, man, have you ever wondered how you got to where you are? How you got to this place where you are? Hey, I got some great news. You listening? Jesus not only loves you like you are, but listen to me. He will meet you where you are. He'll meet you where you are, even this very moment. He'll meet you in your guilt. He'll meet you in your adultery. He'll meet you right in the middle of it. He'll meet you in that anger you've got. He'll meet you in that bitterness that you've been keeping in all these years. He'll meet you in that anger, that addiction. Listen, he meets you where you are so that he can make you into something new. Here's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Hey, you put it down. Jesus is the permanent itch fixer. Did you hear that? Can you say that fast 3 times? Jesus is the permanent itch fixer. Hey, he loves you like you are. He'll meet you where you are. Hey, I'll give you a third one real quick. Number three, he seeks you because you are. He seeks you because you are. Hey, you know why he traveled to Sychar, to Samaria, to that certain well that he knew was there? You say, yeah, because he was thirsty. He was thirsty. He'd been on a long trip. But he showed up there because he knew that there was going to be a woman at that well at high noon, an hour that nobody gets water, but she went there to avoid all the other ladies. That's why she's there at noon. Listen, he'll meet you exactly where you are, just like he did with her. He knew that the woman at that well had a greater thirst than he had, and it was a thirst that only he could quench. I mean, listen to this conversation, verse 13. Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. Itch. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. I call that permanent itch relief. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. Sir, the woman said to him, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty, so that I'll stop itching. So I'll stop scratching and come here to draw water. Hey, did you know that you were not an accident? Hey, I'm sure there were days in this woman's life that she went into the bathroom, looked in the mirror, and said, you know what? Looking at herself in the mirror, it would have been better had I never been born. My parents told me I was a mistake, and I've been a mistake ever since. Hey, you know what? It's not what the Bible says. In fact, Ephesians 1, verse 4 says that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That was a long time ago. To be holy and blameless in love before him. Did you hear that? Listen. In love, he chose us before the foundation of the world. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he, what? Because he first loved us. Hey, listen to some of these great verses. Jeremiah 1:5, God says, I chose you before I formed you. Now let that sink in for a moment. I chose you before I even formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. That's a good word, isn't it? How about Isaiah 41:1? The Lord called me before I was born. He named me while I was in my mother's womb. How about Isaiah 44:24? This is what the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb says. How about Psalm 139, verse 13? For it was you, David cries to God, who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Hey, do you know what all that means for us today? Here's what it means. God knew you were coming. Listen, God had planned for you before you were ever born. It means this. You were no accident. In fact, the Bible says God was expecting you. He was anticipating your birth, your arrival. Your birth didn't catch God off guard. It didn't catch God by surprise. And before you were ever born, God had already provided a permanent love solution. Listen to this. For your every itch. And that love solution is in his son, Jesus. Amen? You put it down. Jesus is the permanent itch fix. Let me tell you, he knows all about you. Listen, he knows about your every itch. Do you know that? I mean, you may be trying to hide it and cover it, but I want to tell you something. God knows about that itch. In fact, think about this. God knows the very worst things about me. He knows the very worst things about you. And he knows the very best things about us. And what blows me away is that holy God, knowing the very worst things about us, and the very best things about us, listen to this, he still loves us. Is that incredible? I mean, the very worst thing, and he still loves us. Let me tell you what Jesus did in that woman's life at the well, he can do in your life. You say, what did he do? Well, let me mention two or three things real quick. To begin with, Jesus rescued her life. That's what he does. Jesus specializes in rescuing lives. He lifted her out of a life of unfulfilled needs. And let me say it this way. Jesus does more than scratch every itch. He satisfies every itch. He rescues lives. Your life need rescuing? Jesus rescues them. He not only rescues lives, he restores lives. I mean, he specializes in taking all the pieces of our life that's all messed up. We got a piece over here and a piece over there. Our life's come apart. He specializes in taking all those pieces and he puts them back together. And they're not held together by glue. They're held together by grace. He specializes in it. And so that's what Jesus did in her life. That's what he's done in my life. What he'll do in your life. He restores, he rescues, and he redirects. Listen, this woman went from talking to men to telling the men all about Jesus. I find it interesting that she went back to the town and all the men listened to her. I'm thinking, where are the women? Listen, the women didn't want to have anything to do with her. Listen, they knew about her moral life. And she had the morals of an alley cat. And they stayed away from her. But the men knew her, so they're going to listen to what she says. And the Bible says in verse 39 that many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified. And verse 41 says, and many more believed. Hey, let me tell you something. When your life is transformed by the power of God, man, you want everybody to know Jesus. Don't you? When he has transformed our life, man, our desire is to see everybody come to know Jesus in a personal way. Yes, he rescues, he restores, and redirects. Here's a verse I want to leave you with. John 8:24. Jesus said this. He said, therefore, I told you that you will die. Listen to this. You will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, if you don't believe I am the Messiah, you will die in your sins. Twice Jesus uses that expression, die in your sin. Now, here's what that means. It means that you will either die in your sins and be forever lost, or it means you can die to your sin and be forever saved. Let me tell you something. You're going to die the same way you live. You say, what does that mean? Well, it means this. If you live without Jesus, you're going to die without Jesus. If you live with Jesus, guess what? You're going to what? You're going to die with Jesus. Hey, dead people don't itch. That's why John said what he did in John 3:30. He must increase and I must what? I must decrease. Listen, the more he increases in my life, the less I itch. The more I increase, the more I itch. The more I die to self, the less I itch. And the less I die to self, the more I itch. Paul says in Romans 6:11, so you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Here's the good news. Hey, and by the way, this is good news because of the good news we celebrated last weekend. You remember what that was? You're looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate here. What was last weekend? The celebration of what? The resurrection. We've already forgot it. Because of that reality, now here's the reality because of that. And it's real simple. He loves you like you are. He will meet you where you are. And folks, he seeks you because you are. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul. He said, I die daily. I die daily. You know why Paul was dying daily? Because every day he wanted him to increase in his life and for him to decrease. Because the more he increased and the more he decreased, the less itch he had in his life. Hey, I want to remind you something. Dead people, they don't itch. Amen?